By the way, I forgot to say, my name's David. I'm not just a random stranger who grabbed the mic. With Alison, my wife, and I, we're the senior pastors here. You're very welcome. I've got a treat for you this morning. One of our, Sarah, come up and say hello. Sarah's going to be teaching this morning. Sarah is one of the leaders in the church here, along with her husband, Mike. Do come up here. They have two children, one with us and one on the way, as you can see. We hope that we will get through to the end of the service. It's imminent.
4 weeks.
So I'll pray for two things. One, that we get through to the end, and for you. Lord Jesus, we ask you to come and fill Sarah with your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'll fill her with the words that you've given for us today. Give her the courage to speak what you've shared with her. And we pray for her safety and her baby. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Happy New Year. Hope you had a lovely Christmas and enjoyed celebrating the new year. One of the most encouraging things about a new year, new weeks and new days is the word new. The word new means we get to start all over again. And I'm wondering how many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Now, here are someone's resolutions that I found on the internet that I thought I'd share with you this morning. So, in 2014, someone said, I will watch my calories until my weight is below 12 stone. In 2015, they said, I will watch my calories until my weight is below 13 stone. And then in 2016, they have said, I will try to develop a realistic attitude about my weight. How about another one? In 2014, they said, I will work out 5 days a week. 2015, I will work out 3 days a week. And this year, 2016, I will try to drive past the gym at least once a week. I wonder how you are doing so far. Has anyone broken a resolution yet? The title of my talk this morning is Making Resolutions Work. I think that often our resolutions don't work for a simple reason. We set our resolutions based on our own perspective rather than God's. And we try to do them in our own strength. And we try to do it on our own. So let's see what the Bible says about an alternative way to approach this. My talk today is based on Philippians chapter 4. Verse 12 to 14. This was a letter written to the first Christian community established in Europe. In our language, we might call that a church plant. And during the time of writing the letter, Paul, the author, was in prison. So that's the context. Let's just read this short section. So Philippians 4, 12 to 14. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. This morning, I'd like to make three simple points based on these verses. The first one from verse 12 is that contentment comes from trust, the secret of being content that Paul refers to. The second, based on verse 13, that God is with us, that we can face any situation. And finally, verse 14, the importance of doing this together. When you think of this year ahead, I wonder what you might be facing. You might have something really exciting coming up, a new job, getting married. For Mike and I, it's having another baby. Or you might be facing redundancy, a failing relationship. Maybe you're dreading returning to work, university, or maybe you're raring to go and just can't wait. The truth is, we just don't know what this year holds for us. Whether we're looking forward to it or whether we're dreading it, anything could happen. This being the case, how do we prepare ourselves for this year? I think that Paul's use of language in this letter is really important. He doesn't say that he is permanently happy. He's not speaking about being permanently in a good mood. Given all the bad things that have been happening around us, or that could be personally happening to you, none of us can claim that we are always happy. Instead, Paul is talking about being content, being satisfied with what God sends his way. And note that Paul learnt to be content. It's not an instant attitude, but something that had to be studied and something that had to be practiced. So how do we do that? When I was a teenager, I was in a church, and I would quite often see people falling over when they had been prayed for because of the presence of God. And one time I was prayed for, and I was basically pushed over. It wasn't God. It was clearly an overexcited prayer team that was eager for me to experience the presence of God. But they just forgot to let God be in charge. Anyway, because of that, I had a real fear of the presence of God. And any time someone prayed for me, I would be praying to God, please God, just don't do anything. One evening I was invited to go and listen to an American evangelist talk. And after this talk, there was some prayer time. And many people went forward to receive prayer. And I just knew that I needed to get some prayer. My heart was racing, and I just knew that I needed to go up. So somehow, I plucked up the courage to do this, and I went to the front. There were a number of us in a line, and they were being prayed for in turn. And one by one, people started falling over, just like dominoes. My heart sank, and I thought, how am I going to fake this? I kept looking down the line. It was soon my turn. And in a split second, I literally just said to God, if you are good, then this can't be a bad thing. And I'm just going to trust you. The next thing I remember is just this sense of peace, like I've never felt before. I felt like I was in that moment forever. And when I opened my eyes, I was actually on the floor and didn't know at all. My point isn't about the falling over. My point is about trusting God. Trusting God was an act of the will. I chose to trust God. A decision to let go of my fears and my insecurities. It wasn't about me. It was about God. By making that decision, I definitely learned to trust God, and I learned more about trusting him. Thinking about me now, I feel quite nervous about having a second child and how that's going to work out. I feel a bit insecure about, will Ethan love me as much? Or is he going to think that I'm abandoning him? How will I cope emotionally and physically? How will I manage with the demands of two children and my husband, although he's not very demanding? Okay, sometimes he can be. But just like back then, what I needed to do, and what I will need to do, is just keep giving it back to God. Give my relationship with Ethan to God, my relationship with Mike to God, my fears, my insecurities, and my doubts. Keep asking him for peace and not let that insecurity and that fear take control. Paul says, I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. This was very real for Paul. He was writing from prison and most likely facing a death sentence from the Roman authorities. He was able to trust God and he learned how to be content. Let's focus on this middle verse. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, there are several different ways of translating this sentence, and here are a few that I have found helpful. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything God asks me to with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives with me, within me. Now, this is a verse of unlimited possibilities, but for some of us, it seems very impossible to understand. How can Paul claim to be able to do anything? And what does that mean for us today? This week, I learnt that the last part of that verse, strengthening, is a participle in the Greek. It means to pour strength into. It's like pouring milk into a jug or water into a glass. It's something empty that is filled up. It's a picture of us facing problems of life, hopeless and helpless. And in each situation, God is pouring his strength into our lives. I can do all things through Christ. In this verse, Paul is saying, he's not saying, I can do anything I can dream up. Instead, he's speaking about the varying circumstances of life. Through Jesus, we can do everything God wants us to do this year. We can fight every battle he wants us to fight. We can endure every trial and every temptation through Jesus. And while that sounds impossible, God is making it possible by pouring his strength into us. If you are a follower of Jesus, and that doesn't make you better than other people, it doesn't make me better than anyone. It won't mean that I won't face problems or you won't face problems. It doesn't mean that we are tougher or wiser than anybody else. Like everybody else, Christians suffer. The thing that makes the difference is that whatever we are facing, Jesus is pouring strength into us. And we can face any situation that comes along this year. This section finishes with Paul thanking the church for their support. And looking into another letter, Paul wrote, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another." Paul is emphasizing the importance of community, and I agree with him. I love it when community come together and help and support one another. Now, I'm personally not the best at asking for help, but I am getting better. And I especially had to ask for help during this pregnancy. I was very poorly in my first trimester, and Ethan, my 2.5-year-old, also got quite poorly, and we needed to go to hospital with him. I was struggling emotionally and physically. But thank you to people from my small group, Belly Buttons, the toddler group, and friends from this church. Help wasn't too far away. Meals were made for us, people were praying for us, and we were very much looked after. Without this help and without this support, I'm really not sure how I would have managed. I trusted God, and God provided from the community around me. Now, this morning we heard about small groups and all the different ones that are going to be starting up are in that leaflet. And I'd really encourage you to have a look at that and look at those groups and see if one of those groups is a place where you could get support and encouragement from one another. Whether it's encouragement about a dream that you want to achieve or pursue this year, or for support for a challenge that you're going to face this year. Whether you actually like small groups or not, maybe consider joining something new and potentially life-changing. Trusting God is an act of the will. Paul learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation. He learnt to trust God. And because of his trust in God, he was confident in his ability to face anything and everything, to face the situations that came along in life. And finally, he emphasized the importance of doing life together. So, to summarize, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for 2016? Some of us are facing marital difficulties, financial difficulties, career difficulties, maybe even health difficulties. Others may have exciting plans for the future, but making them real seems impossible. If your New Year's resolution is to lose weight or make more money or experience something new, then that's great. I don't want to trivialise those things at all. Indeed, they may be from God. But I'd really like to suggest something deeper. That trusting God, turning to him to strengthen us, and doing life together will provide a foundation for all of us for the future, regardless of our health or weight or income or whatever else features in your New Year's resolution. Are we going to allow God to pour into us this year? Are we going to be willing to trust God with whatever we might face this year? And are we going to allow others around us to help us do that? So this morning, I really wanted to leave some time for us to see what God wanted to do. And I really wanted to be able to pray over you and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So if you're willing and if you're able, I'd really love and encourage you all to stand if you could. So I'm going to pray for you. And this morning, I really feel like God wants to do something. And I really feel like he's going to be saying your name, and you're going to clearly hear that he's talking to you. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I would encourage you to just stay in God's presence. This is your time with God. It's not about anybody else. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. And we ask for more. And I'd really encourage you to open your hands out as a sign that you are just ready to receive from God. Whatever you may face this year, or whatever you would like to achieve, I pray that you will be able to trust God. That you would find a community of people to do life together with. and that God will continue to pour his strength into you, that you may be able to do everything God asks you to do this year with the help of Christ, who gives strength and gives power. So Holy Spirit, we ask for more. Come fill this place.